This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Irene, can you please determine a quorum?
Yes, ma'am. Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Mara Lutonsky.
Here.
Cheryl File.
Here.
Jay Lister.
Here.
All right. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. I move that we approve the agenda for this evening. Quite a few items on it. Can I have a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Cheryl. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of approving tonight's agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Is there any correspondence? No correspondence?
No.
Any comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Any comments from the audience related to agenda items? Any comments from board members that are here? No. All right, moving on to the consent agenda. Did we approve the consent agenda? I move that we approve the consent agenda, which includes May 2018 monthly accounting report, bills, payroll, electronic fund transfers, as well as May 8th regular meeting minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. Is there any discussion? There's no discussion. All in favor of approving the consent agenda, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. All right, we'll move into administrative reports. Superintendent Clute Painter.
Okay, I am going to defer most of the comments to the agenda items that are upcoming. We have a lot to discuss. I would just like to say for the record, thank you to the school board for your support and all of your work this year. And also thank you to our principals and administrative team and office staff and all of our teachers and paraprofessionals this year for such a great year. It's been a busy, long year and a lot of hard work going on in the district. So just want to recognize everybody's efforts and thank everybody for a great year. And I think that's it for me for now. And Karen gets to go.
All right. Director of Finance. Please give us your report, or are you going to just do budget revision?
I'm here. I'm going to do a report.
Report and budget
revision. I haven't actually talked to the board or the public in a really long time, but I have been in the office all year long, and it's been very busy. We are working on the end of the year, so we're closing out purchase orders, closing out all the grants, doing the grant reports, and getting ready for the audit. Last week we ran a $500,000 payroll, which is one of our two payrolls in the month of June. We do have our audit scheduled at a different time this year. We're actually going to have it the first week of school. We typically have it the first week of August, but my son is getting married, so I won't be in the office to manage that. On July 1st, or we might even start practicing the week before, we're going to be implementing electronic time cards in the district. And the system is super easy to use for both the employees and the supervisors. And it interfaces with our current ASOP program, which is our absence management program. We also have one other component from this company. It's actually called Frontline, and that's the professional development program. So we have three components of Frontline that all interface together, and we'll be going live with the electronic time cards on July 1. Super easy. Everyone's going to have a card with a barcode on it. They just literally go up and they scan their card to clock in and scan it to clock out. This will be for our hourly classifieds and all of our subs.
So that'll be like located at their offices or whatnot in each in each building?
There's going to be three main kiosks. They will be at each of the buildings. And then you can also log in when it's all set up on an iPad, like in maintenance or at food service. But you can log in anywhere in the district. So if you're in the high school, you start at the high school and you end at the elementary school or vice versa, you can clock in at each of those locations. And it's going to tell us when we pull a report where they've logged in. So I wanted to talk about that briefly because it's something new and I haven't really addressed it much, but we've been talking about it. Actually, we've been talking about it for about 5 years now because we looked at bringing that on at the same time that we brought ASOP on, and I felt that, for me personally, that was too much to try and manage, and this is actually a better way for us to move forward with that. My summer schedule is I work 4 10-hour days, so if you need me, I'm in the office Monday through Thursday, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Comments?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Into special recognition, Board Member Sarah Holmgren will be highlighting our special recognition.
Yeah. So I had Lisa Murph, Rose Lane, and Elizabeth Stewart stop into the office, my office, a couple weeks ago, with their scout leader, and they presented a framed mirror that they had worked on the frame, and it's hard to describe over the radio, but it is quite beautiful. It has different colored stones in it and other artwork, and it has lots of encouraging words so that if you're looking in the mirror, the idea is to remind you of your self-worth. And they worked on it and presented it to me and asked that it be presented to the school, so it's going to hang, I believe, in the library. And so they did bring it up to Ms. Cotter before school got out. But it's quite beautiful, and so if you're out in Radio Land and want to stop into the high school in the fall sometime to take a look at it, I'm sure you pop into the high school library and you'll be able to see it. But they did a really nice job, and it was part of a badge that they were working on. So I want to thank them for making it.
It looks like some of the lettering might be calligraphy.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hand done. They maybe learned calligraphy at the time.
It's got great words on it.
Yes, lots of good ones. So thank the scouts for working hard on that and presenting it to it.
Good.
Beautiful.
All right, moving into new business, the fiscal year 19 budget revision. I move that we approve the fiscal year 19 budget revision as presented by Director of Finance, Karen Quitsland. Is there a second to open it up for discussion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah Holmgren. Take it away, Ms. Karen Quitsland.
So there was a few discrepancies in our fiscal 19 budget that I presented last month to the board. So after you guys approve the budget for fiscal 19, it goes to the state, and the state does a really in-depth audit of it, and they always ask about 20 questions about why there's variances in certain things. Well, on this particular year, it turns out that I actually omitted two things in the budget, so we have to add them back in. And it doesn't actually have to go for a vote, but I want it to go for a vote because I feel like it's my job to be transparent. So the two oversights are, one is in Function 350, which is Support Services Instruction. In the budget that I sent to the state, I actually had a one FTE, which is a full-time equivalent, on the budget, and that's for our technology paraprofessional, but I didn't have a salary amount. So we need to increase that budget by $43,000. And then one of the other questions that they had asked was on operations and maintenance. They wanted to know why the benefits were so much lower from the previous year, so I went back and did my research, and it turns out I did not allocate for the health insurance benefits on that. So we need to increase operations and maintenance by $60,497. And the state told me I could do one of two things. I could either reduce our fund balance, or I could allocate out the additional one-time funding that we will be receiving. It's like a one-time grant that we're getting that we just we just found out about the night that we had presented. And so increased state revenues by $95,225. So those are my oversights. And really, I still stand behind the fact that it's a super strong budget. We budgeted our revenue very conservatively, but our expenditures are close to operating level as this year. I would say in the fall, we are probably going to see more revenue from the state based on our enrollment numbers. And what my recommendation at that point in time would be to carry over a larger fund balance rather than necessarily allocate out all those funds. So
we're receiving in $95,000 that we didn't know about until,
it was announced that night.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like we have expenses of about $103,000.
We're going to dip into our ending fund balance by $8,272.
Okay, there's that number. Yeah.
From the initial.
Okay.
And it's not discretionary spending where we can just say we can't budget
for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So how close are we to the 10% limit this upcoming budget?
For the end of this year?
Yeah.
We're going to carry the maximum forward.
Okay, good.
So, and we're also doing prepaids, which actually, so we prepay some of our expenditures, but then they do have to be reported here on the expense side. So we're using some of this year's cash to pay for next year's expenditures. Like we typically do that. We do that almost every year. Carry about $220,000 of prepaids.
And so fiscal 19 also has us at the max?
No. We're looking at such reduced numbers. We budgeted 437. This year we had 465 students. So it's very conservative. We went on the low end.
We will have more kids than that.
We will most likely end up with more. It's a lot easier to budget conservatively and be able to give money in the fall than the opposite.
Yeah.
So how much of that 10% are we going to have, like 5%?
Oh, no. We're probably about 8%.
8%, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Until a revision, right?
Until the numbers come. Yeah,
right.
The numbers are confirmed.
We deal with a lot of unknowns when we're building the budget. It's just the nature of it. The unfortunate thing is we're just not seeing as much revenue. You know, we've remained flat for so long, and we have maintained that 10% for the last 7 years, and that would be the goal for next year as well, but we are looking at 30 students down. That's what we're projecting. Mm-hmm. It's sizable.
That whole class, almost. Mm-hmm. Two-thirds of the class.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right. There's no other discussion, then we'll vote on approving the fiscal year 19 budget revision as Karen presented to us. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. All right. New business 12.2, board member resignation. Janine Gibbons submitted a letter of resignation to the school board about a week ago. And I move that we accept the resignation of board member Janine Gibbons, effective June 12th, 2018. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? It's not really open for discussion, but Janine, I think she just found that her schedule was a little bit busier than she expected when she signed up to be onto the board. So we will now have a seat open that we'll be advertising soon that will run to the October election. So if anyone's interested in trying it out, please sign up. All right, all in favor of accepting the resignation of board member Janine Gibbons, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. 12.3, 2018 District Parent Community Survey Results. We'll discuss the results. Is there, there's no presenter, it's just from what we looked at?
Yeah, just the general conversation we had today, and you guys can discuss it as well, but difficult to find a lot of trends and information when there's not a large response, so I'm not sure if there's a different way that we could get things out to people or look at different a different model for getting feedback from people, whether it's through some of our other committees that we have or...
I wonder if even something like, I know the school year isn't over in March, but it seems mm-hmm. like we get so crazy in April and May that I don't even sometimes get to read the, don't even look at the bulletin until days later, which is mm-hmm. bad, but just even, and that's the only place I find the link is in the bulletin, so if you're not signed up on the bulletin, or I guess there's other spots that people have advertised, but I don't know, even the school year's not over, maybe it's enough over.
Yeah.
In March, there would be earlier. Less busy, mm-hmm. that people might be, I don't know, it's just an idea.
Well, elementary-wise, I wonder if you, if we could possibly have computers outside of each teacher's rooms that while the parents are waiting for the next one to go in, they can sit and take
a conference room?
For the conferences. They can sit and take a survey at that time. I mean, that would help for elementary. I know that's not the same for middle school and high school, but...
Sure.
That's a really good idea. Or even just middle school and high school, if it's just one sitting out in the commons area that parents, as they come in, could do it then.
That's a good idea. That's a good
the
idea.
End of the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are already.
It's a captive audience that's waiting.
Well, you're waiting because I'm 15 or half an hour late.
It's true.
Yeah. Backed up.
True.
Here, do this.
Yeah, I mean, we could have like greeters that walk around. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to take a survey?
That would be the board.
On my iPad?
Like at the mall.
No, that's a good idea, actually.
I like that one.
Mm-hmm. It's worth trying.
Yeah. It's a great idea.
But if you did, if you were not able to take the survey and you have some opinions that you'd like to share with the school district, please feel free to reach out to one of the board members or also to the district office over the summer months. Of course, we'll take your feedback that way as well.
Good.
All right. Any other discussion on that? 12.4, Foreign Language Digital Learning Presentation. We'll receive information outlining the foreign language class as a digital learning option, and it'll be presented by Principal Rick Dormer, who's technically not here.
I know I am here.
Technically not here.
Thank you.
Do you want to
my notes are on here too, so you can put up, if you don't mind using that link that you put in, that's very nice.
Okay.
And putting up, starting on slide 20 is awesome.
All right.
We've talked a little bit, if people are tuned in or not exactly sure where we're at, the High School for Foreign Language offering, we did not hire a foreign language teacher, and we are going to offer all of our foreign language options as a distance delivery or an online option there.
Do you want me to leave this on or just...
No, you can just grab the slideshow. That's
okay.
Kind of what I'm reading from.
Okay.
So I've been working, doing a little bit of research, putting together some ideas. We've actually been working on it for several months with the scheduling committee. It wasn't something I just sat in a dark room and decided on for many reasons. And then we've had great, and I want to thank up front our new language arts teacher, Tim Shumway, who's been here in town and still kind of worked along the side because he worked for Copper River for a long time and taught distance delivery classes there and did a very nice job according to their superintendent and other folks. So he's been giving me some of his information too, just being maybe more familiar, certainly from the teacher side of it as far as distance delivery. I think many of us in this room have taken distance delivery classes and know that quality can vary, the experience can vary, and so what are we doing? And why don't? So first of all, the reasons we've gone online foreign language, really one of the things that came up is that we're trying to find the best instructors, the best staff members, having the best people here to give their kids the best experience. I'm finishing my ninth year as high school and middle school principal. We have had 5 different foreign language teachers in my 9 years, so that's less than 2 years a teacher. So we're obviously lacking some continuity, and the superintendent and I talked, specialty teachers are somewhat difficult. We cannot offer a full-time Spanish or full-time French teacher. We just don't have that, and many schools do have that. We don't have enough course load. So we've asked several people to come in and wear a lot of different hats, and I think at the end of the day, they've kind of gone to other exciting options. Rowan, who's leaving us this year, and Remisser is going overseas and going to have this amazing experience working with, in other countries, and that's awesome. I get that. So that's been one of the reasons. But to stay with that, also, we know that we're trying to become more and more distance delivery and more for what our kids need. The second one is flexibility in the schedule for the students. Even when we did offer only a couple classes, you'd have to fit it in your schedule, and a lot of time that meant sacrifices for kids, which we know is part of life, but it's been increasingly difficult to say, if you need Spanish 1, you can only take it at 1:15, and if you can't, then you got to wait a year, and that's been tough. And part of that also is that we want to offer multiple languages. Spanish is what we've stayed with because it obviously has a high relevance here, where kids live here in the Pacific Northwest. But now, by going digitally, we're currently right signed up. We have kids in Spanish, we have kids in sign language, we have kids in Russian, we have kids interested in Russian and French. We have kids signed up for Latin, and there are other ones such as Portuguese and Italian and those type of that are out there and available. So we've already been able to, just within before we even started, have seen that kids don't all want to take Spanish, and there are different needs out there. So those are kind of the reasons behind it. Talking with Tim, who's really familiar in teaching this, we recognize that these online programs and the ones we're looking at, Alaska Digital Academy for our Spanish, we're looking at Virtual High School, who already have a relationship and a lot of success stories with, for sign language and Latin, and then we're still looking at a couple ideas for Russian and French and others. But we know that their quality, we know they're accredited, we know that the curriculum they're going to get is of equal quality than we're going to get someplace here. In some ways, it's even more. It's been vetted a little bit longer. So we know that the actual credit's going to be good, what they get there. What we know is going to be difficult for them is that you don't have someone kind of pushing you. You don't have the relationship with the teacher in the room, and we know that that's one of the things that we're trying to figure out. So we know the online language programs have speaking and listening opportunities. They're going to have Alaskan certified teachers. If you talk about Alaskan Digital Academy, VHS, we have Chris O'Connor as our certified librarian who covers that. So we have a lot of things we're going to get. A lot of these online classes, like Alaska Digital, have office hours for our students, and that's something that Mr. Shumway's referenced. So if they need to get help outside of hours, they can connect them digitally. You'll see a picture. Oh, you can see a picture right here of the Alaska Digital Academy Spanish teacher here, who says at the bottom he's using desktop video conferencing. So right there you can see an Alaskan teacher based here in Southeast who is connecting with one of her students digitally, which we have our classroom teachers do that often as well when kids are traveling. So we're seeing right there that we can offer them that a real person. It's not going to be plugged in, headphones on, in a dark room just plunking away on the keyboard. If students are going to be taking the same language during the same period, we're obviously going to group them together, and that's what we're going to use the instructional aid to support them, and they'll fill some of the spot of having that teacher kind of pushes, hey, are you on task? Where are you going here? How are you? Is your work caught up? Are you on time? Those type of things that kind of give them that personal experience. And we've heard a lot of when we talk about Seward or some other schools that are doing a lot of distance delivery, it's using instructional aids as that model to provide that piece of a face-to-face teacher that's missing in an online class. So you're going to see that piece, and that's something we'll be doing together. And of course, many of the foreign languages we have here, we have local experts and we'll utilize. We have staff members that speak French. We have staff members that speak Russian. We have staff members that speak Spanish. So we have them. We don't have them signed up for a class for them, but we have them as resources, and we certainly can flex and use our local experts as needed. So another way of supporting them. Just for information, we haven't decided. We're looking at two sites called Middlebury World Language, which is what Mr. Shumway is familiar with, and then Mrs. Cotta is looking into Sterling Academy, which also has some good reviews from some of her colleagues. So we have a couple sites because we're still trying to figure out the best benefit, the best educational site, what are the office hours, what's the student contact with the teacher for Russian and French. Those are the two we're trying to figure out. And to see if we can get some more options out there if kids do come out.
Because the Digital Academy doesn't offer that?
Yeah, Digital Academy is just Spanish, and then VHS just has Latin, sign language, and Portuguese, actually. I don't know where Portuguese. I know. That's how it's really Portuguese. Okay.
Must be someone that's teaching it.
You're Portuguese, right?
One of those.
He's Portuguese.
Except we're called teachers.
There's another aspect.
Looking at some research, there was not, and Mr. Shumway looked as well, just to make sure I wasn't getting stuck in a tunnel, there's not a lot of research on how effective is foreign language distance delivery instruction for high schools. There was some stuff there for college kind of doing that, but we did a lot of work at just the distance delivery for students, looking at high school and college age students, and him and I found a lot of the same results. Motivated students, if they're in a classroom on an online or a distance delivery class connecting with teacher, compared with other motivated students that have a face-to-face teacher, the online students actually typically will do slightly better. And I don't know if that's flexibility, I don't know what that is, but maybe it's face-to-face kind of groups them in one if they're, kind of go at their own pace and work hard and get more questions when they need them. I don't know, but the data says they'll actually will tend to do better than their counterparts. That's middle and high school that I saw for some of the most recent studies. The flip side of that is less motivated or students that are less connected or maybe have less study skills, if they are put in online compared to their peers in a face-to-face teacher, will actually tend to do worse. And so, but then the flip side of that, another flip side, I'm on three flip sides, the third side of the triangle, will you, is that blended learning, which is doing online work in there with a teacher or an aide in the classroom working with them, and doing some of the instruction there, and then them getting some online, actually tends to be straight across the board, whether you're low or highly motivated or structured, or study skills tend to do just as well as students in a face-to-face classroom with the teacher. So, and our the PILP, for example, when Mrs. Fry there is a certified teacher, she has an instructional aide in there, and they have kids receiving instruction online, and this is a lot of credit recovery or some different situations, but that'd be a good example of how we use blended learning there. Our advanced math class coming up this year will be that way. They'll be doing some online there, but then we'll have Mr. Thompson, who's a certified teacher in the room, and sometimes an instructional aide. That'll be blended learning, and studies show they do just as well. So, Irene said I could talk fast tonight, so I'm trying to do that to keep her on.
I'm excited that there'll be different offerings.
Yeah.
Rather than just Spanish. It'll be interesting to see how well, continuity-wise, mm-hmm. that the students who have had Ms. Barraza this year, how they transition.
Yeah.
Because from my understanding, it was all Spanish all the time with her.
Yeah.
When they walked into the classroom, so it'll be interesting to see if the curriculum is the same with other
The slideshow appears from the Alaska Digital Academy. It was to give us a brief glimpse. We want to get, there were a few slides there. Superintendent wants to click through there. Again, we want to show you the actual teacher there, some of the data that's available there, so as our instructors and aides can kind of track how kids are going periodically and make sure that's going. So that's nice.
Well, and one of the requirements of the Digital Academy, which is also like VHS, right, that you have to have an on-site.
Yes.
You have to have an on-site teacher and or aide. You have to have somebody that is dedicated to monitoring what kids are doing in addition to the off-site teacher. So you just have to have a personal person who knows, okay, we know you've been traveling for 3 days for, swim, you're back in the building, have you done, that? You know what I mean, kind of just checking in like a teacher would do, on a regular basis. So that's something they have found at the Digital Academy too.
Do we know what some of their lessons look like? Like, is it a
little bit?
A
can
YouTube
you go to
video
slide
of the 21, teacher
please, Mrs. KP?
Speaking at a
we go back a few slides.
That the person arrow watches, or is it just all reading?
We know that they use both. Can we go back a couple more for me, please? One more. No, not the paper. That's it. We know they use Edgenuity and Canvas, depending on which teacher. We use Canvas as our learning management system. Mm-hmm. So we know what the interface will be there as far as putting assignments, grading assignments directly on Canvas. I am not as familiar with Edgenuity. I know Mr. Painter was in the presentation from this, and he is somewhat familiar with it. So we know that at least half of it, for those who use Canvas, who know what that will look like. We don't know how much, and we've got a call into Bill Wickers, a gentleman out of Ketchikan that started this, and still is our contact for them.
They all have speaking and listening components, though, because that's part of the media. You have to have enough. They actually have, like, the Digital Academy actually gives us, like, an additional sort of on-site, smaller server that you have to have access to, and you have to have enough bandwidth for it because it is media heavy, because it's speaking mm-hmm. and listening and interacting that way, so.
So the kids won't be able to take these or do this class like on a trip?
They will.
They will. Yeah. How do they get the bandwidth to do that?
Oh, most places have it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And most of our schools and partners.
Pretty much every school except kind of the smaller locations. Mm-hmm. Probably the more wanting schools, just a little bit more out there. But pretty much majority of every spot we go to, bandwidth's fine.
And Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. And we got the Wi-Fi mm-hmm. device that goes with the kids, too.
Oh,
our kids were calling in from Thunder Mountain, calling into science class. Mm-hmm. And we had 9 kids calling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much every morning.
So is it like a set time, like the kids are on a trip to go to a ferry to get there at 6 p.m.? Can they take it at 6 p.m., or do they have to actually take the class?
Good question.
There's flexibility in this. It doesn't all. It's not all time dependent.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
So if you call in for class,
you can
at some point.
You can start
some point during the trip. There could,
yeah.
They're actually taking classes while they're.
Mm-hmm. What we don't know is how do they fulfill the speaking with each other with that. I don't know if we have to do it on our end or if they record their lessons. Like I know Mr. Thompson, Mr. Troutman will often record their lessons and post it, and then they kind of repeat back, or the students will, just like they were in the class because they're seeing the teacher present. I'm not sure yet.
So the math class be able to do that as well on their trips?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
They're doing that a lot of that now, though. Cause, like, we use Canvas. That's one of the ways the teachers already interact. The other management system that we use, and then him. That's what he uses, Edgenuity. That's one of the
Is that what he uses? Thank you. Okay, Mr. Schoenwind.
The teacher that we just hired.
And Mr. Thompson has been working with the great one and only Miss Bev Sirks, and she teaches, is it UAS?
UAS.
That she's still teaching classes for and uses, it's a PowerSchool-based online component learning, and he's getting trained from her as well as them to use that with his math, just for those advanced math classes. That's so great. He's taking kind of this college thing that Miss Sirks has been doing. It is pretty cool. A lot of technology.
It is. It's a good way to use it, though.
That's funny, too, because Lee... picture in there, she's also the cross-country coach at Ketchikan High School.
So is she? Oh, cool. Yeah, the Spanish teacher? Oh, funny.
Yeah.
Well, we saw presentations, or I at least saw presentations for the Alaska Digital Academy at conference 2 years ago, and I mean, it was exciting to see the different kind of delivery offered, because I know that some of our, in a small school, you know, you only get certain things offered. You don't get the large variety as you might in other places. So it's nice to have that access, the follow kids' interests.
Yeah. And I think the blended learning part of it is important too.
It is.
Because there are also things in a brick and mortar building that you can't get through here, you know, and a lot of schools that are opening up more of these flexible options for kids, which is where we are going, you know. They still want to be a part of a school, though. I mean, it's still important to kids and people to want to be a part of school, so you don't lose that. And a lot of schools that are smaller, like us in that sense, that are trying to offer a lot of options for kids, but also still want to have a high school experience, kids still want that. You know, they want to be here, they want to be working with their groups. I think kids were already coordinating times.
They were already signing up. Hey, I'm going to take Spanish, you know, because they can take it all 7 periods of the day. It was, you know, in the library or with... and in another room there. So they were already saying, hey, you're taking it, Irene. Yeah, let's do a 7th period. Okay, we'll take Spanish together, you know, which is cool because that's what they want.
Get a group of 6 or 7 kids together.
Yeah, of course.
I think Mr. Troutman puts a lot of his stuff on Canvas now, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Is there a way we can encourage more classes to be available online like that?
We're actually doing a nice push. We've added Jim Ingleston. His careers class this year has just become digital for the first time, so kids can sign up anytime. Excuse me, if you've seen that, that's kind of that juniors and senior class where they're doing finance and stuff. So I would say every year we're making another push for it.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I know we get more middle school teachers even trying to push the elementary crews.
A lot of hers on Canvas, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Most of hers is on Canvas.
Yeah, it's almost everybody's Canvas.
Most of the high school teachers. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, and this is cool.
Yeah.
I think that's what I had. Any other questions?
Info?
Yeah. We'd love to hear the feedback. I know it's a different thing, and I appreciate the board asking a lot of questions. I know you're hearing them in the community. So just encourage people, once we get into it, just to hearing feedback, how to keep making it better. I really think we put a lot of thought into it. Had a lot of people, you know, like I said, scheduling committee and Chumway and Cliff Painter. It's been great, both of them, as far as researching and looking at it. So we put a lot of thought, but I know once we get going and kind of rubber, we also want to hear the experiences. We'll certainly talk with kids, but we want to hear from parents too what they're seeing.
What's the kind of the plan of those less motivated students that are going to be doing worse with this? What's our plan to help them?
That's why we're going to have on-site people.
You
have to have a person, just like in real time. You have to have a person that's...
We do that a little bit now. We have, you know, the library is a great example. We have some kids who will kind of come in here and they'll work, and then we've had many times we get to that quarter break, and Ms. Cottle will say, you know, the VHS says you're not up on it, that maybe you're talking too much to Ms. Littleton, you know, kind of thing, and then we move them, we isolate, or we put them at the instructional aid or that kind of thing. We're going to do the same thing with the foreign language classes, kind of protect them a little bit. Yeah, good question. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Cool.
Part 12.5, activity fee increase. To open discussion, I move that we approve the increase of high school activity fee from $120 to $150 and increase the cap from a maximum of $500 to $650 and increase the middle school activity fees from $50 to $60. Is there a second?
Seconded
by Jay. All right, take it away, Activities Director Jamie Cabral.
Yes, looking at those fees, still amazingly, amazingly affordable, given the time that we're in, and just looking at the continuity of all of our activities and travel. I did get the winter schedule proposal, and we are looking at mid-January through, I take that back. Mid-December through mid-February of one boat going north and south again. So the lovely spider schedule, if you know how to read those, that comes out. It's only going to be one boat, just the Columbia running. And yep. Mm-hmm. Well, one boat traveling during that time. So we'll have two through the fall, which is good, where a majority of our activities are happening in the fall. At one point, we've got 9 going between middle school, high school, all together. So at least we will have our north and south, 2 of them going through the fall. But just looking at those prices for what the kids get, it's pretty still darn affordable. I know all across our region, we're looking at activity fees, and we are probably one of the cheapest in the state as far as activity fees for what they get. So still pretty good. Talked to a couple parents and they said they're okay doing that. And we still have scholarship stuff available for students that cannot afford those, and deals with community service and doing some things around the building. So we have options out there. And just to keep the cap going, and getting to Sitka is one of our hardest ways to get there. Going northbound, our Wednesday ferry does not hit Sitka at all. So in order to get there in time, it's either be gone for 9 days or fly with a limited number of travelers, which our coaches have been really good about limiting to what we can afford within our budget. So going to Sitka is almost a guaranteed fly one way. And Alaska Airlines has made this connection with 67 and 64. They moved it back a couple minutes, and we can now make that connection this year. It was the first full year we've had it. It was amazing to have that option, because otherwise it was down to Ketchikan, sit for 3.5 hours, fly to Juneau, get in at 11 at night. So we can get there in 3 hours now, which is awesome.
Does the new airline, Islander Express, is that big enough for us to take a team on?
For a very small team, it is. And I've talked to them extensively a lot, and they are, when they stop by at any point, if you guys would like to take a tour of their plane, they're more than happy to do so. And we have actually talked about it at the region level with teams in our conference to backhaul, mm-hmm. which would save days out of school. So we could go to Craig and come back from Craig and not miss 1 minute of school and still leave on a Friday and still save money by backhauling. It's actually absolutely amazing. And I think we've done it. We have not done it, but Craig's looking to do it because they could fly here, drop off a boys team and our girls jump on it, they go over there, and then we split the cost in half with Craig, which that we use the fuel. It's genius, and it's a gorgeous plane, and they fit about 11 total, so it would be and if we did increase the numbers, a double backhaul would work too. So, but they're flying in here every day, Monday through Monday, going north, going south, and it makes the connections even better too. So if we have just single or two or three people flying, it's amazing for staff too. You can get to Juneau at 8:50 in the morning.
Are they flying all over? Are they flying to Sitka and Craig?
They connect. Or just so that plane, their new plane, starts in Ketchikan, comes to Petersburg, goes to Juneau, turns around, goes back to Petersburg, back to Ketchikan, and they connect with Harris Air and Alaska Seaplanes in Juneau. So mm-hmm. they make Juneau your hub and Ketchikan your hub. So you can connect with all of those now. But they were down here for Mayfest, so got to chat with them face-to-face a little bit more and meet those guys, and they've done a nice job. They do a lot of donating. Just in Craig itself, they donate one plane a year to the high school there, to the schools there for state. So they just say, if you're going to state, it rotates through teams, and they take care of the cost getting to Ketchikan for them. Nice. So they're very involved in the community down there. So
yes.
Working on it.
They donated. I think they've donated it to a couple of KFSK raffled off some tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We have some 4th of July tickets to raffle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just looking at the price, it's still pretty affordable. We've done a lot of reservations for next year already. Last week we booked a ton of stuff early just so we could get some pretty good prices already. And you can notice the difference of tickets that we would get for about $98 one way last year. They're at about $102 this year one way. So about $3 increase from last year, $3-$4 increase from last year. So, yeah, just looking at those things. But it saved us a ton of money to book in May, June for September, October, November, December. Saved us a ton of money just on travel. So,
are our students allowed to fly on the smaller planes?
We have sent a letter home with the parents, with the kids, and talk to them way in advance. If we did go on a small plane, we said, if at any point you do not feel comfortable with this, please let us know, and we'd make adjustments. The one time we did was going to Haines about 3 years ago, and they were all fine with it, and the weather worked out great, and we flew up to Juneau. That was the only time going. There was no ferry going up to Haines that weekend, and worked out great. We had two planes that tagged along and took them over. So we always send a letter home regardless. And that, I don't think we have anything in our board policy on small planes, but we do send a letter home with the parents and the kids, notifying them that this is our plan, just to give them a heads up. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all weather dependent too. I mean, you know, they make the decision as the certified pilots, you know.
Yeah.
Not going to fly if it's...
Yeah.
So you're sure this increase is enough?
For now, I think it is, and we'll see, because I think maybe a millionaire might come and donate $5 billion to our district at some point. That would be good, but it's good. Just looking at some random numbers that I know from other schools, volleyball in particular, at another school for varsity players, it's $750.
Whoa.
Plus they have to fundraise still at the same time. There are school districts that give absolutely $0 to their activity program. Mm-hmm. Zero. And so it is 100% fundraised. And it is just amazing that we still have all of our activities by adding the two that we did in middle school about 3 years ago. And our price tag is still that much, and we're still functioning okay. Still functioning just fine. So I think this year hopefully was the anomaly of having two canceled ferries on us that drove our price tag a little bit higher for a couple trips.
Still made it within your budget, though.
It's true.
Good job, yeah. Mr. Rowe.
And he's got the same travel budget for next year.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be.
I'm bound to have something lucky happen.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the spider schedule for Last Green Highway looks great for the fall. Winter's going to be tough just working around those schedules. And the coaches know that they will go with lower numbers on some of those, bare minimum that they can, just to save cost-wise and save time out of school. So, and we've been adjusting our schedule activities-wise, too, to where if we need to play on a Monday, Tuesday, because the ferry works good, we're going to play on a Monday, Tuesday and get the kids home fast. Mm-hmm. We did that with Haines when they kind of had a weather thing going on over there, too, but it was pretty interesting to see four different planes come and pick them up in Haines and bring them to Juneau. So.
Does this change the not fully enrolled student fee?
It will. Yep. The cycle will change too of how much they'll pay. So right now it would be $75 off for every class that they enrolled in for the homeschool students. And so we're working on the breakdown of what it would be just to equal out if they fully enrolled to where it would equal that $150 amount.
Is the $151 per activity.
Per activity. Per activity. Yeah. For the homeschool student, it is still $500 per activity. That one is stay the same. And we did that. We did a 3-year average on activities, what it would cost per kid per activity. And we did a 3-year track and mathed it all out on a spreadsheet. A lot of spreadsheets. And it came out to an average about what the school district puts in of our own money, not including the activity fees, with about $512 a kid is what we paid, and that's including every single high school sport, every single kid, every activity.
But we're not increasing that.
Not increasing the homeschool one. Yeah, it's going to stay at $500 on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for middle school, right now they have to enroll in at least one course to participate in any activity. So if you're a homeschool student in middle school, you have to enroll. That state statute just goes for grades 9 through 12, that they don't have to enroll in any homeschool, in any class. Yeah.
Any other questions? All right. So we'll vote on approving the increase for high school activity fee from $120 to $150, increasing the cap from $500 to $650, and increase the middle school activity fees from $50 to $60. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving into 12.6, middle school travel. Review and discussion regarding middle school travel. Principal Rick Dormer and Director of Activities, Jay McCarroll.
Oh, with the chart? Can you pull that up?
Yeah.
Talking sixth grade travel, we did talk to some coaches. Just looking on numbers, our enrollment in the middle school is quite low, so fielding teams to travel was pretty tough the last couple of years. But just looking at what we had budget-wise, looking how sixth grade travel works too with the youth and them and coming back to school and doing some homework, and just the travel, the distance of travel sometimes for some of those. We have elected just to keep sixth grade travel still at not traveling, with the exception of any event that goes to Wrangell. We would let them go to Wrangell just because of the ease and the closeness of that trip. Mm-hmm. So this past year we had wrestling. Wrestling was the Wrangell trip, so they took their 6th, 7th, 8th graders, and then just based on budgets, not including the 6th graders in the travel yet. And our numbers we're growing. We're getting bigger again, and we'll be big for the next couple of years. So I did a little projection out 3 years of what each group would be looking at. The cross country we host now, so which is great. We can do a cross country home meet, so our sixth graders still get a home meet there. The one that would change a little bit would be track and field. Only 7th and 8th graders would travel with track and field. The 6th graders would not travel on that, but they still get a year of participation. The 6th graders that do not travel, their activity fee would only be 30. It would drop theirs only to 30 because they're not traveling, but that still pays for equipment and coaches and all that other things that we got going, so they wouldn't have to pay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they would be at $30 for the 6th graders to participate, and that is still a pretty good deal when we compare it to some other programs around the community to where they meet twice a week, and they're paying $55 for an activity for two times a week, and they're getting some pretty good coaching from certified coaches that have been around, so $30 is quite a deal. And so
6th grade track would not have any meet at all?
They would not, yeah. Yeah, sixth graders would. Yeah, they would just practice with the group. We did get a lot of feedback that the only reason why they do track at sixth grade is because they get to go on a trip because they figured that one out. We had a lot of that, and then you have some sixth graders that actually take it pretty serious. But then we kind of looked at it on the flip side. Okay, they got 6 more years to travel, but just kind of putting in perspective of where the budget was, probably not increasing, and if we can reduce, that's probably the first place we would reduce is the middle school, just because of the required activities by ASA for the high school, that we have to attend those, and just kind of see where we go from there. So there would be 0 sixth grade travel unless they went to Wrangell, then we would take them. It's cheaper, definitely cheaper to go to Wrangell, less days out of school, and easier, much easier. We had talking with our teachers too, and you can say fill in anything else on that one. They come back, they either skip Monday or they're pretty tired Monday and not have a whole lot of homework done. So it's one of those. We're teaching them little by little, practicing every single day. And we know we have some of them that participate a lot and travel well with other clubs, but it's a little bit different. We don't have as many parents that travel with our school groups as some of these clubs where you got grandma, grandpa, uncle, auntie traveling with them on some trips. So.
It's just, I mean, it's age, it's money, I think, are the two things. It's tough. Mm-hmm. Track bugs me a little bit. I wish there was a better option. I don't love the Ketchikan trip, not because mm-hmm. Ketchikan puts on a great meet and they really treat us well. It's a little long getting down there and back, and our high school kids go also, which is awesome, but I don't love having sixth graders with seniors on the ferry for a long time and stuff. It's just, they're pretty young, and I know that looking at a few of us here that have incoming sixth graders, I know Kinley just went up one, so we have kids that age, and I think they do it and would be fine. They're just so young, and sixth grade is such a transition year. It's such a tough year for transitioning school. I think amps up in a different way as far as homework and that type of thing. So, age and money is what it came down to. Mm-hmm.
But we do have a projection of 3 years, what it would look like just on a rotation, where everyone would be traveling to for the next 3 years, mm-hmm. and working with the Stikeen tournament and things of that sort. So, and even probably doing maybe a modified home meet for track and field is what I've talked with the coaches, where we can actually still do a home meet and chalk the little track out there so we have a couple lanes and just do a modification against each other and against some of the high school kids and even adults if you'd like to come run a 100 meter hurdle. So,
pole vault.
Pole vault. Yeah.
Gino did that. They had, it was an invitation
professional. I mean, anybody, any age can come run.
So yeah, wow. Yeah. I bet that was that's fun. That's a fun one. So that's kind of what we're looking at for next year. And our participation rates have been steady. 80% at the high school and 80% at the middle school. We're right at 80% participating in one or more activities. So, and I think that number increased just looking at always increasing. We've never gone below 80, I think. We've had a year of 76 once, but that was a long time ago.
I didn't know that.
So yeah, a long time ago.
We were up at 88 or something.
Yeah, we were at 88 last year. Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on the sixth graders not traveling?
Well, I just know there's concerns about the safety if you don't have, you know, if you only like six players for basketball mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. And I think that looking at the numbers, I went back and did some research. Last year was definitely different. We had 2 seventh graders participating last year. That's it. And looking at how many sixth graders we have participating this year, there's 11 on there. So as far as numbers-wise for a group, we don't look too bad. Numbers-wise, that's always been one. And we also look at, we also put into perspective with wrestling, if you don't have your sixth graders, it's hard to win a tournament as a team-wise because you don't have the numbers. And just on that 3-year rotation, they'll get it at some point, kind of put more participating and learning rather than winning a game on that one. Yeah. So, but we did have one where we traveled with six. We had six. We had one not be able to participate. We would have had 7, and they were down to five kids left on that team. So, yeah, that's a tough one.
Was that a second team?
That was a second like team. Yeah, we went into B bracket on that one. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did toy with the idea of, okay, do we cap it at a number? Do we put a number on how many travel? But what about what if you leave one sixth grader behind and take all the other sixth graders? Or you take one sixth grader and leave 7 behind, why does that one sixth grader get to go? And then we're playing with the money issue. And a lot of decision making, I don't think a lot of us want to make that decision on of why we left that one home or why we only took one instead of all 5.
They're really young and it's expensive.
Yeah. That's sticking with. Yeah. So, and we're not the only school that does that. Sitka is really, really harsh on theirs. 1-6 graders do not travel at all. So, okay. Yeah.
I didn't travel in 6 years. So. Any other questions in middle school travel? Well, you two can stay right there because student handbook reviews.
Yeah.
Administrators will discuss any changes made to the middle school, high school, or activities coach handbooks.
Yep, we can go
Which
activities
one?
First.
Do you have them up?
I have
start with activities first.
We'll do activities first.
That I can
do my standing yoga here. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
It's about 40 pages.
Super big.
It's actually a really good one. I did not create that. We're going to look at the yellows that actually come up, and that is our first yellow. This was a nice topic with our teachers. We've been talking about this a lot this year and talking about our grade policy for extracurricular activities in the high school for any school-sponsored activity. Our last policy was no Ds, no Fs, no Is on your current grade check, which happens about every 2 to 3 weeks. If you did have one D, any style, D minus, D plus, regular D, you could get a D waiver by meeting with the principal and or designee to sign a D waiver and be eligible during that grade check period.
High school only.
Yeah. So just talking high school right now. But you only had one of those a year. And so what we ran into was some students kind of banking on having that D waiver, so they would have 2 Ds show up on their, they knew they had 2 Ds, grade checks were coming up, they would forget about that one class and kind of focus on one, getting one up, and then kind of fall behind a lot and kind of save their D waiver for that, for whenever they wanted to use it. Then we also had the point of, you know what, I'm not going to travel for the next 5 weeks and just hold my D and work hard to get it up for the last week. And just bank on having that D waiver for the last week. So we had a lot of
calculating.
Yeah. So it's a lot of iffy things with that one. And so we wanted something a little bit clearer, which was a little bit simpler to follow. And with our grade check, which is fine in my mind, we're kind of putting the academics first. We're going to go no Ds, no Fs, no Is. So even if you had a D on your grade check, you are still ineligible. We want to put the high piece on the academics portion of it. What we did also include in that, though, is that if you did have a D, Jamie Cabral had a Dion Gray check. I have. We're off this week, but next week we've got a home event. You are ineligible for 7 calendar days. So as soon as that D shows up on the gray check, 7 calendar days from that date, you're ineligible to compete or travel. You can participate in practice. We want them at practice and staying on top of things. But as far as traveling or competing in a game, you'd be ineligible. At the end of that 7 calendar days, I can do what is called now an academic petition. And so the petition would be filled out by the student, and this is what the academic petition would look like. It is kind of explains a little bit more about the policy, just reminding the students that you are going to fill this academic petition out because you received a D, an F, or an I. And even if I have an F on this grade check, I can fill this academic petition out after my 7 calendar days of ineligibility. Once I fill this out, we also included the parent's signature on here because they had to take it home, get parent's signature, discuss with their parents why they were ineligible, what activity they are currently participating in, the data submission, and they will have to initial both of the statements there. The petition does not have to be approved. The teacher can come in and say, you know what, this kid's not really turning in homework. We still have 7 missing assignments. No, I don't want to really approve this because we need to get the academic piece taken care of. Or it can be approved, saying they're doing as much as they can. They're working really, really hard. I love that they're staying on top of these things, and then the sign off by the principal and the teacher of that class. If I had 3 Fs, our current policy right now, if once I have an F on my grade check, I'm done for those 2.5 weeks, regardless. With this, talking with our teachers, and this is very teacher-driven conversation to have this petition, I could have 3 Fs on my grade check. If I work my tail off in 7 days and do this academic petition, I can be eligible. And we're still within our ASA guidelines to be eligible. So, and they can have as many petitions as they want per year, because we want them staying on top of their grades. And right now what we're having is, if we grade check them, they're ineligible. Maybe sometimes they've been done for the whole year and we're not having those kids participate. And now they know that as long as they continue working, they still have a chance, but regardless, you're gonna be done for 7 days. So a little bit more concrete, a little bit more easy to understand, but yet still have a carrot at the end of the tunnel for these kids that may be struggling a little bit and meeting with the teachers. And it's all student-driven. So we're not going to go and fill this out for the student. The student has to bring this to us and set up a meeting with the principal or designee after their 7 calendar days, and also include the parent on this, because we would let the parents know about ineligibility, but yet they wouldn't be part of that conversation on the D waiver. So now they have to take this home and make sure they get a parent signature. A little bit more communication at home, too, at the same time. So, looking to do that increases our grade check to a little bit stricter, which is just fine, because that's what we want to do. It's an extracurricular activity, and make sure they're staying on there academically. And it was great to hear the teachers talk a lot about this. I mean, we probably had 11 of the teachers sitting in a circle right here discussing this for over an hour. And it's just kind of put together by our old policy and kind of what we have now. Because before we changed to every two to three week grade check, it was mid-quarter and quarter. So we would have a grade check at mid-quarter. They did not pass that. They were ineligible for 4 weeks.
Long time.
And cross-country is about 6 weeks once you start school. So their season would be done. And that's where the D waiver came out, was to give them a little bit more carrot at the end of the tunnel for those 4 weeks period. But now we kind of don't really need it. We debated over, do they only get one petition a year or do they get multiple? And, I talked to a lot of teachers, and a lot of them are, they can have as many as they want because now they're going to stay up on their academics a lot more, they think in their mind. So a little bit more concrete, a little bit easier to understand. And then you get the teacher involved with the signature there. You get the parent involved too a lot more. So want me to explain anything else, or is that good?
So the only change?
Better.
It's a lot easier to understand.
My oldest was in school, and it was ineligible at one point, but then she had handed in a few things or waited a couple things that hadn't been graded yet that were graded that changed her grade
right
to eligibility. So mm-hmm. I can see the value in that for especially kids that want to go up and down.
Yeah, we get the up and downs a lot. You know, they could have one bad week and just bomb every single test, and this will at least give them a chance to get back up. Mm-hmm. And even that kid that's got 4 Fs. still has a chance to get some stuff done. Still light at the end of the tunnel. Instead of, there's no way, I might as well quit. We kind of want to have them for a couple of those kids that sometimes it's the only thing they're staying up on. So, but that's the big one within the handbook. This is the biggest one. Changing it to where you cannot have any D's, F's, or I's. And we plan the grade checks at the beginning of the school year. We kind of get that out. All the students know, all the teachers know way ahead of time. That way the teachers can have their grade books updated. We give out every single grade check date all the way through the end of 2019. So, and that little highlight there is just some extra wording there. May consult with district teaching staff to determine most updated representation of students' progress in specified course in determining eligibility. That gives it to where a little bit more discussion for talking with the teacher on how the student's doing, basically in their class. A C minus might not be, that might be a really, really good grade for a kid who's working really, really hard, or it might be a really, really low grade for a kid that's just kind of slacking. So just give some more options to talk to the teacher.
I can see it causing a little, you know, if you have a star athlete, in a big game coming up,
mm-hmm.
that could put a lot of pressure on a teacher.
Yes.
Or teachers
yep.
to make that kid eligible.
Right, you know, exactly.
If he's got four Fs,
yep.
you're the one teacher holding up the star.
You stand tall, yep. teachers.
Yes, and they have. The teacher's done a nice job. It's just like, no, you got to do the time. And with that one, at least they know, hey, I'm going to be done for 7 days regardless. Mm-hmm. If I have a D minus on this thing or a D plus. If I only got a 69, I did a 69 work and not a 70 work. So mm-hmm. if I don't get it up, I'm done for 7 days. No ifs, ands, or buts on that one. Kind of be better than being done for 2.5 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, wow. A student becomes 19 years of age on August 1st, she'll be eligible.
That's a good one, huh? How many people knew that rule? It's been around forever.
Wow.
Yeah. So the reason that rule is in there, and that's an ASAA rule, parents would hold their kids back in school on purpose for athletic purposes.
But what if we have some kids that here that are that going to be?
They won't be before the date.
They'll never make that date.
Okay.
Unless, no. yeah, un- it's
I'm
pretty
like,
much
oh,
you
got no.
Yeah, yeah, oh. don't worry, yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple kids that got nervous about that when I talked about that rule, and I said, when's your birthday? Yeah. No, you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be really held back.
Because it really was not
yeah.
really.
In some,
yeah. Yeah.
some districts yeah, have had that before.
Year
I think the kid was 20.
In yeah. trouble.
yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. But I think you're going to keep going down.
I
think
I read that one before.
And
I've actually read this.
A little bit back. There you go. This just clears up our Sunday practice rule and participation on Sundays. So practices or meetings on Sunday or legal school holidays are strongly discouraged. Sunday matches games are not permitted unless a waiver has been approved by hosts and visiting team school administration and ASAA. So just to clean up what our Sunday, it was kind of ugly, but sometimes we have to play on Sunday in the state of Alaska. It's very interesting how many times teams play on a Sunday just because of weather or travel or something of that. And we've had to the last 2 years, basketball games played on a Sunday.
Thanksgiving yeah. Day practices.
And Thanksgiving Day practices. Strongly discouraged. Yep. Strongly
Christmas
discouraged.
Yeah.
yeah. So we do. I don't because I want to go eat turkey on that day. And then it might be coming up soon. But that one's always been four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one's good. There you go.
Okay.
Bingo. All right. So. Number 15 that we put in here, students are not permitted to attend non-school district-sponsored events while participating in a school-sponsored trip representing Petersburg School District without prior approval of superintendent designee. So this one we talked about, our region, as the board of directors at Region 5 decided not to do dances at the end of culminating Region 5 events. So the history goes back. It's a great rule. We got a lot of claps in there. But the whole point of that was at the end of Region 5 basketball, we have about 760 students in one community. They would try to do a dance at 760 students on a gym floor, and the equivalent of how many chaperones we had there was about 35. It doesn't work out very well. And it's just, it was not working out well. So the region is at any culminating Region 5 event, so that would be region championships, we cannot hold a dance. So what some communities have done when they've hosted regions is that they've had some parents of students of a school put on a dance that is not sponsored by the school. So we put it in there that our students are not allowed to travel, go to those dances because it is not school-sponsored. So some of those dances that have taken place that are not school-sponsored don't have adequate supervision, do not have an age limit on who can attend those.
My God.
And questionable things happening at those. Mm-hmm. So,
well, good job putting that in there.
Yep. Yeah. So I've got
good
to go.
Good job showing up.
I showed up at Ketchikan and I told all of our kids, awesome, do not go because I will show up. And I did. So,
and you found
it?
Yep. Oh, we did.
So it was good. Myself and a good friend from Monday. We did a little walk in there. So, and then number 16, just a little bit more because this is new in the last couple years, talking about Uber and Lyft and all of these things that our kids can do on trips. Students while on a trip may take a taxi, an Uber, Lyft, or bus service if approved by chaperone prior to using said service and traveling with one or more additional students. So we're not having one kid take an Uber from the Valley all the way down to South Douglas in Juneau or doing something else of that. They need to be with a teammate and also let their chaperones or coaches know that, hey, we're going to take the Uber, we're leaving at this time, show up here. Because that is, a lot of our students actually, when they are out and about, may take a taxi to go get food down in the Valley and come back if their housing parent is not available. So just as long as they clear it with their coaches and chaperones. Just kind of put it in there because that's something new. Uber and Lyft wasn't around a couple years ago. And they're showing up in Juneau and Ketchikan. There's Ubers and Lyfts and things of that sort. In Anchorage, this does not happen. Our coaches are with our kids and driving our kids a lot more of the time. They're not Ubering and Lyfting all over the place and taxing a whole lot in Anchorage because our coaches are with them 24/7 on those trips.
Well, and it's easier to get to food and things there too.
Yes.
I think that's what happens in Juneau sometimes.
Yeah.
And Ketchikan. It's weirdly spread out.
Yeah, very spread out. Track and field, you're all the way out.
Yeah.
You know, Fallen Mountain. So. And then the next one, chaperones. Just wanted to clean up our chaperone wording in there. Our chaperones is now, instead of 14, it is now 12, and that's the Alaska Marine Highway minimum. So we wanted to make sure we're up to date with Alaska Marine Highway's minimums on those. And traveling with a same gender coach, if we have different gender coach with different gender participants, just making sure we've got the same gender on those. And then if we ever come into the point where we do not have an opposite gender, that we team up. It's been happening quite a bit across the region. We call another school that's going to be on the ferry already, and they have a female chaperone for our pep band. We will tag team with another school. And our coaches and our directors and everyone else, they work so well together, and everyone knows everyone, that they know their kids. I know another school's kids, that we've teamed up quite a bit to help other schools. Just to help them out, and they've teamed up with us on a couple occasions just to help us out on having chaperones, especially if they're group housing. Those chaperones can group house in the building with them too. So it's worked out really, really well because this comes up a lot.
And we're the only district that still requires...
We're the only district that still requires it, but the coaches and the chaperones really like that we have that in there. They did not want to mess with that at all. They really feel comfortable having an opposite gender with them, just in case something happens, if they need to go to the hospital or things of that sort too. So just, they feel comfortable with those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's not required anymore, right? It just says when available.
Right.
When available. That gives us the flexibility if we come into the point where we're not going to cancel this trip on you kids.
Or take a questionable chaperone just because they're the right sex.
Right. Yes.
Because we've felt pressure in the past at times. Not that we've taken any questionable chaperones, but I mean, it's come down to the wire where sometimes you know, maybe a female teacher was
last
supposed
minute
to go and couldn't, and you're looking for somebody who's available and able to go. And sometimes we have great people who volunteer and show up and they become our chaperones, but sometimes we've had people that we are not as comfortable with, you know, mm-hmm. so then we've had to make other arrangements at the last minute. Yeah. So.
I know on the maximum number of kids can travel, a lot of them is 14 for the groups.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now you have to have two chaperones with...
14 plus two. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you have to have them for every 12 students, so you'll have to have two chaperones for sure then.
Right.
With everyone's...
Yep. Okay. Which is good. I don't like sending teams with just one. I don't think... I think the last couple of years, maybe one event that we've sent one coach with them. If something happens, just to leave the other kids there, it's kind of tough. It's nice to have some backup a lot of the time, especially with wrestling too. If we only sent one chaperone up, you know, they make it to state, kid gets hurt, we got to take one to the ER. Kid shows up, he has to forfeit if we don't have a coach sitting in their chair. So that's the other piece. Just the safety piece. I don't like sending them solo. Yeah.
So more about numbers and less about gender.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's basically.
Yeah. Questions on those three? Okay. Ah, this is a new one. Just letting the coaches know when they communicate with their players, names of students or adults can be removed from submitted roster for Lash Marine Highway reservations and JetBolt reservations. We do not get dinged when we drop a kid from a Lash Marine Highway or a JetBolt reservation. What we do get dinged for a little bit, if we drop a kid and never reuse those tickets, Alaska Airlines does not give you the money back that you spent on the Alaska Airlines group rate ticket. So we either eat the money for it, or we reuse it at a later time. If we try to name change them, it's $125 name change fee every single time if we're after the three calendar day period. So just letting them know that communication with us as coaches and parents letting us know that, hey, this kid's not going on this trip, you can remove them from the reservation, helps us out a lot, helps Marsha have the correct roster. And we've actually put in, we're very Google Doc now with the coaches. They've been filling out a Google Doc of who's traveling, and that's how we've been making reservations. It saves us a ton of money instead of paying for a certain reservation, and then all of a sudden three kids aren't traveling. No one told us, and we have to drop them last minute at Lash Marine Highway. Then it's a backtrack budget thing for Karen and all of us that we're trying to find out, okay, how many kids didn't go on this reservation? And it's all those hidden things that, oh, it's no big deal if you guys don't go and we don't tell anyone. It actually takes up a lot of time. A lot of time. Especially with Alaska Airlines, there are a lot of different rules that a lot of people just... Our coaches, we talk to them pretty good, and sometimes they just miss it, but it takes up a lot of time. I think one call is what? Average, Mr. Dormer, Alaska Airlines group reservations. Average 40 minutes?
How long? You said 40 minutes.
For one.
But,
yeah, and then all those other yellows were just updating. This is our appendix pages inside the handbook. That is just updating the student activity fee, showing reflecting the activity fee, and then just putting on the maximums of what you can travel with for ASAA events for state and regions. And then this last one, this is a new appendix. It is concession fundraising. It is our fundraising guidelines. Kind of puts everything in. If you came in as a new coach or a new advisor for a certain group, I would like to fundraise for something, I have no idea what to do or where to start. This is a bulleted, wonderful list that Mr. Dorber, Cindy Fry, and a lot of people put together of all the different activities that we do for fundraising. So we got seaweed, we got concessions, and we also went into making sure that the fundraisers that we have now that certain groups stick with still didn't affect them too much to where they have a system that works pretty darn well. And we didn't want to say, okay, now you have to follow this, even though yours has been working for buco years. So all of this is kind of built in. How do you do raffle tickets and all of those? So just very, very detailed and easy for someone who's new who comes in. I have no clue what to do. Let me show you and go through this with you. And they got something to reflect back on. So a lot of work put into this to make everything nice and easy and smooth.
A lot of experience of, ooh, that didn't work out. Or, oh, no, yeah. People are going to. I mean, when you get to it, kids are working, their parents are working hard, and it's about money, and those are all pretty sensitive things. So we need to be as transparent as possible with the information up front and then just having it really laid out. Yeah. These really are guidelines, but we're hoping it'll clear up some of the misunderstandings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of work put into this one.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But makes it easy for everyone else. Somebody new, a new parent wants to take over the seaweed fundraiser. Where do I begin? Here it is. And away you go. So that is it on the activities.
He's got one more handbook
stuck. Oh, he has one more handbook.
Oh, yeah. Two more.
Oh, you're done.
Two more.
Oh, bye. See you.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
Which one do you want?
Do we get short or long first? Middle school, sure. We'll start short. Thanks.
Darn it. Forgot there
was. I think that is actually the first one, yeah.
Oh, was it? Sorry.
Okay, the phone number, update the staff. Okay. Updated the table, finally got that fixed, thank you. I have two different formatting with page numbers.
We got into the highlighted
stuff. It's very light.
Oh, that was just for searches, Hughes.
Oh, yeah, I think it searches. That's funny. You caught that too.
The numbering was weird.
So okay, we're green.
Their sixth grade travel removed, and so obviously we'll cut out the strike throughs, and then we put a line in there that sort of scheduled travel for an activity will pay, of course, a reduced fee. We didn't put what it was, but we just put there is a reduced fee.
Yeah, reduced fee.
Meaning sixth graders, of course, we could have, I guess there could be a situation where a kid going into sport, knowing they're not going to travel for some reason, they wouldn't pay the full amount. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. That's more of that. That's funny. I wonder how that gets in there.
I don't know.
And this, the same day, we spent about an hour and a half with staff members talking about some of the issues and things we wanted to fix for the handbook instead of came in and trying to figure it all out on our own. We put it into staff groups. That's where the D waiver conversation came out. Another group there was the bullying and harassment group, and they wanted to talk about that. And that was one of the things I wanted to put out because we really need to track the data behind bullying and harassment more. And middle school is the biggest ones. We said the new counselor coming in, we've already purchased a pretty impressive curriculum to address some of the bullying issues that we know are happening primarily in the middle school next year. So we're really going to get hit pretty hard. So this is just new language. You can see they use stopbullying.gov as well as some other resources. And it's a better language. It's bigger. Good things about like the behavior being repeated. We get that a lot. You know, Kinley bullied me the other day because she called me mean. You know, well, she bullied me. She just called me mean, or, you know. Not that Kinley would ever say anything mean, but, you know, just that time where it was not bullying, but, yeah, then she does it all week. Well, now it is bullying, you know, after the end's repeated, power structure, all that, so. Okay. The dress code for middle school. We've talked about this a little bit. So, it has been brought to our attention for the last couple of years that once the high school changed their dress code, now the middle school leggings, the elementary doesn't have an anti-legging policy because they're elementary kids. Mm-hmm. The high school changed theirs to allow this. The middle school kids were just squeezed by the power of society. So they worked through the proper channels. So thank you, Ms. Fry, for working with some of our, especially our young ladies, to have a voice and to do it properly, to get some signatures and do some research. And it came up, and at the end of the day, we have change the dress code with staff input to match that of the high school. So they can wear leggings, yoga pants. They cannot, you can see they cannot be a sheen. They have to be as thick as when wearing jean-like material. And again, they must be completely opaque. They cannot be like spandex athletic tights type of things. That's, we're not working out, we're going to school.
Unless covered.
Yeah, you're right, unless covered, of course. Yeah. And then with the word, there was underwear and changes to undergarments just to prevent any type of undergarment really should not be shown to school because that's an undergarment. That's crazy rules.
And also just reminding that that's not just about girls.
It's true. It's right. Always saggy, about men.
Saggy pants by boys.
Same thing if they wear a blouse
well,
with teeth out of the strap,
boys.
Men and women.
It's the same.
Yep.
If they want to wear them, they need the
yeah, they can. That's
very true.
We had some boys wear them one day. It was fine. Yeah. As long as they're covered.
It's fine. They got to follow the same rules.
In both the high school and the middle school, we've added the language just when kids take credit recovery classes, they can only receive a maximum grade of 70%. At the end here, you'll see we've updated the glossary terms for bullying. So what's funny here is as you're looking at that bullying in the middle school, that's not correct. It should match the one in the high school, which matches what was in the policy. So I've already changed it on my computer, but when I sent you the PDFs, sorry about that. So the bullying will be updated to match. Cheating is new. That's different to kind of explain what that is.
It's so interesting that none of it is like paper notes, which would have been cheating.
Yeah, no, that yeah. And that is
oh,
kind of evolving with some of the digital, the digital nuances of cheating, and beneath it, plagiarism, which is also so much easier now. You know, cut and paste.
I had to actually buy Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
So we've updated those. So we didn't even have plagiarism in there, so that's now, and all three updated both handbooks. And then down to the tier chart. In this update, you can see in yellow, now we have a tier one disrespect to students, so we kind of have a minor bullying, we just kind of give them a hard time. And then we have a tier two minor versions of something could be bullying and harassment. And then we've always had a tier three of bullying and harassment. That was kind of the problem, was you did some bullying thing, and then there was really bullying, but we couldn't really call it until you really got mean, because a tier three is a really serious thing. I mean, you're in school suspension, you lose your free day, you're doing Saturday school. It's a big deal, it should be. And there are instances when that was appropriate, but not every, there was bullying that wasn't tier three, I guess, what I'm trying to say,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we had to find something a little bit intermediate, hit those smaller things, yeah, that were happening that really didn't escalate it to the point of the big harassment bullying that we hear and we see all the time. But kind of those little things, the minor ones that are happening now that could lead to that, we just want to kind of nip it before we got to that higher version of it. Mm-hmm.
And this will allow us to have some better discipline data, mm-hmm, on bullying as well, because you can see a little bit more as opposed to the tier three, which was not used very often. Yeah. And that is the middle school handbook. Okay. I tried to get rid of the last page, and it makes all the other pages go weird, so I just left a blank page. The phone number, update staff. We start with bullying again, an updated definition is came up with their staff group there, same one that's in the middle school, keep it consistent. So this is the big one. This is brand new. As you know, there is an existing board policy that's 6155 based on the state law a year ago, 2 years ago, saying that we do have to allow credit by examination or students to challenge a course. We talked about it as a staff, we had some ideas, we didn't really have it down on paper, so we knew how we were going to do it, and so now it's laid out. And this is a combination of Kenai's, Fairbanks, and Anchorage's, as well as our own, what fit our school and our students and what we'll have there. A lot of them had committees of coming up with the examinations, and we obviously use our content grade teachers to determine them, because they're the experts.
So would students, if they're not going to use that, they're just going to use that to get a passing grade? To get points accrued for their GPA?
Right, not for your GPA. You get credit. So, and again, you've probably heard the best example is we get a Spanish speaker comes in and they don't need to take Spanish 1. Of course, they speak it fluently, so they can challenge it. Probably do pretty well. You know, or someone that's maybe for a different school has taken a class that prepared them that was a lot like physical science, but it wasn't physical science, they could challenge that. And physical science would have a lab component as well they have to pass, and that would be determined by Mr. Trump, physical science teacher, probably based a lot on his final as well as a lab final. So, but we want to make sure, we don't want a kid to start physical science, get halfway through and be like, this is stupid, I just want to challenge it now. You know, it's not meant for that. It's not meant to be a credit recovery later after you failed. It's supposed to be, you know it before you take it, you challenge it because you already know it. You shouldn't, you don't have to go through the hoops. And you want the credits. You deserve the credits. You've already, you know the material. Everyone charges a fee. We use $25. Does the board feel comfortable with that? We're not going to get rich off that. I think only had one of these in our history. So, but we did feel that there needs to, I mean, there's a lot of the teacher, not they're going to get paid for it. It'll just go in the general fund. But teachers are putting a lot of extra time in. There's some paperwork, that kind of stuff. It feels like there should be a fee.
And other schools too.
Yeah, other schools seem to have a fee as well. Mm-hmm. Colleges have higher, much, much higher fees. The dance policy, I believe you've seen before, that was there. We just added the passive alcohol sensor or the alcohol light in there to our dance policy, so they know.
Undergarments.
Oh, yep, sorry. Thanks. Here's the word undergarments. Glasses.
Oh, that's
the updated D waiver removed and the new language put in for that. Okay, there's the 70% again for credit recovery classes, max.
Mm-hmm.
This is VHS fees. We've updated VHS, just added more language in there. There are some additional fees. Like, for instance, students want to take AP, I don't know, Norwegian. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? They could take it, but VHS does charge an additional fee, and we do charge the families. We pay a hefty chunk for VHS as well as a certified staff member's time, and so just want to be sure. And then if they do something silly and they get cheating or plagiarized or something in there, you can see we've put that back on the actual discretion. The VHS instructor could be anywhere. Not necessarily Alaska. Excuse me. That took my throat. That is the correct bullying definition. Thank you, geez. I'm choking. I'm so emotional about this.
I'm getting choked up. Yeah. About cheating.
About handbooks and policy.
Me
that's
too.
The same change when you saw the book.
I got a little teary.
That's a little teary too, I know.
Those are accurate then? That one?
That is correct, yeah. That's the correct bullying definition, and that's an outcome. It'll be in the middle school just like that.
Okay.
Same plagiarism one. And then the discipline grid is updated here, and this was a lot of the cheating. It used to say cheating slash lying slash plagiarism. It was all one, and that wasn't working. That we needed to spread that out. And then the teachers want to differentiate between, you know, copying someone's assignment really quick because you didn't get your homework done. Wish it didn't happen, it does. And that's obviously a little more minor as opposed to someone who actually just openly cheats on an exam or a test or an assessment. So we differentiated that. And then, of course, plagiarism has its own. And they really want to hit plagiarism hard because that's something that's really easy on the laptops and it'll really get you in, especially in college. So we're trying to set an example. And then tardiness updated just a little bit there with what we actually were doing before with the aggravated tardy hadn't been updated yet. So it's a 45. Do you like that?
That's
really
important.
It's a good word.
I like it, too. We stole it from Juno. It's good.
Yeah.
How much
was
your
30-minute?
It got aggravated.
What's the first
aggravated.
What?
Did it get cut off?
Aggravated. The first aggravated over there.
Aggravated.
Oh, yeah, and it's spelled, oh, crazy. I was typing
the other one.
And the other one's, oh,
is
that's
right.
Funny.
That one's right on the right
yeah,
hand side.
The one on the,
yeah.
No, this okay, thanks, let me take that. All kinds of incorrect aggravators. That's it?
No.
There are
two bells.
Is there a warning bell? I have no idea.
And an in-class bell? Is there a warning bell and then an in-class bell?
For high school?
For high school.
There is in the morning. There's a five-minute bell.
And then at lunch.
And at lunch, there's a five-minute bell.
After that, it's just the bell and then the tardy bell.
Yeah.
And how much time between classes?
Four. It's gone down to four on the new schedule. Remember, we're starting 10 minutes earlier next year in high school, too.
We are?
Yeah.
Starting 10 minutes early. We start at 8:20 now. Remember, the middle school still starts at 15. They're starting at 8:20 because we've added a read block for the high school kids. Isn't that cool? As well as it'll give us some time to do some of the short, like, announcement things or some kind of things, you know, PBIS lessons and stuff without making a special schedule. So we start at 8:20. We're still all ending at 3 o'clock. Not Cheryl seems worried.
When should they read? Never, according to my kids.
That's well, as a Beaverton, we started at 7:38 in the morning. So
yeah.
I'm
at
8:20.
SSR,
was
silent sustained reading. Silent
sustained.
SSR,
I was going to call
15 minutes once a day when I was in high school.
You like that?
And that's when we did our school, our class meetings.
And we have a lot of our language arts.
Whittled away to nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Took it back.
Yeah, because you do other stuff there, too, which is enough. No, it's great.
I think you need to bring SSR back. Call it that.
Call it SSR.
Oh, the teachers got mad if you were not reading.
Yeah.
Anything about that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Okay, I got two Jagger Bay lectures.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's right. A lot of work.
Yeah. Moving to 12.8, increase of substitute rate of pay. The superintendent will discuss the recommendation of increasing our substitute rate of pay for classified and certified staff. Classified rate of pay will increase from, if passed, the increase will go from $10.75 to $11.50 per hour. Non-certified pay rate will increase from $95 to $100 per day. And the certified pay rate increase will go from $130 a day to $140 a day. So I move that we approve the increase of subrate for classified aide,
non-certified teacher subrate and certified teacher subrate to the amounts that I've already said. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Take it away, Superintendent Clue Bailey.
Okay. So we have been discussing this actually off and on for several years. It is a need. The certified pay rate has not been increased for our subs for at least 8 years. It really, you know, it's still not probably where it should be, but it it needs to be increased. And that the 140 rate is in line with other Southeast communities, still a little bit low. We do ask people to come in for the full day. They're working, you know, from 7:45 or 8 till 3 o'clock. They oftentimes are having to come in with not very much notice. And so we have some amazing, amazing local certified subs who, you know, we call them like our brigade of, you know, amazing warrior retired teachers who save us all the time and come in and can handle anything and do it on the spur of the moment. And anyway, they're not necessarily doing it for the money, because they're not. I mean, in the sense that they're mad about it or whatever, it's nothing like that, but it would be nice to pay them what they're worth. Non-certified pay rate, that is for people, if we have people in the district who have bachelor's degrees, but they don't have a teaching degree, and they'll come in to get on our sub list to sub for, they'll come in to be potentially interested in maybe being a teacher sub. We always start them as a classified sub for our paraprofessionals, and that's at that pay rate. If they become comfortable and we are comfortable with them after a certain amount of time, we do allow non-certified subs to work in our classrooms as long as they've had that probationary period and they do have a bachelor's degree. And their rate has been 95 for
quite a while. Same time forever, I think. Yeah.
So we'd like to bump that to at least $100 a day. And the classified pay rate is still very low. We raised it 4 years ago, I think, 50 cents to 10.75. We'd like to raise it to 11.50. It's still pretty low. It's hard to get people to do that if they even have, you know, if they're trying to pay childcare or doing that sort of thing to come in and do that for us. And it's the same thing for them that our teacher subs do. They show up spur of the moment. We plug them into all kinds of things, and they come in with a positive attitude and do it. So we just feel that we need to make that more in line. So I guess that's probably about it.
And our budget can handle the increase with a small tick out.
It can. One of the things Karen and I have been working on, we were talking about today, that we've been trying to do a lot more work as we're doing all the federal grants right now, which is what we're working on this month. There are ways that you can code subbing to a lot of those grants. So if you're doing some, like if you're doing activities that relate to the migrant program and you need to have teachers or staff involved in that, you can actually pay for sub costs out of those grants. So we've done a lot more coding of that, I would say, the last couple of years, just being more intentional about it.
I think actually this year in our consolidated grant, we're doing that even more. In the past, we've allowed the general fund to pick up those sub costs because we've not written it into the different grants, but this year we're very intentional with how we're viewing professional development. Mm-hmm. So we've got the professional development budgeted, but then we also have enough sub costs budgeted in the grants as well, because and I suppose at some point in time Eric and I will talk to you about how we've consolidated and have been moving funds in our federal grants that we can do. That's one of the trainings that we went to this spring. So we're just really trying to take a strategic look at how we are budgeting certain things through the grants and how they can help offset some of the costs within our general fund.
Right. Yeah. We've had a couple years of some pretty substantial sub costs, some pretty substantial long-term leaves, which those are super difficult to budget for because you don't know what might happen with people, or if somebody does end up you don't ever want anybody to get sick or have anything go wrong, but things do. And so it's been a difficult couple of years with some pretty substantial costs associated to subs too. But at the same time, people have, you know, rights to do that, and people have and should have and should be penalized for being sick. So that's how that goes, and kind of the cost of doing business. But we want to have qualified good people that we can count on, I guess, is what.
And just to extend on that a little bit, this year our sub cost has cost the district $182,000. About half of that has been from long-term subs in the district. Next year's budget, we have approximately $130,000 budgeted for sub costs, and that's because we don't want to make it. We want to have a little contingency in there in case we do have something come up and we need to have a long-term sub in the district. So,
which we're not anticipating.
No, we're not anticipating.
Everyone's going to be healthy.
It's a middle ground, basically.
Yeah.
There's enough of a budget in case something does happen, and if we don't need it, great, we'll allocate it elsewhere.
Yeah. For a long-term leave like that, don't we save some money by not paying the salary? No?
Nope. We pay
salary.
If they have sick leave accumulated over the time, then it's paid as well.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All right, so we'll vote to approve the increase of subrate for classified aide to $11.50 per hour, non-certified teacher subrate to $100 per day, and certified teacher subrate to $140 per day. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to 12.9, personnel hire for our summer positions. I move that we approve the personnel hire for Eliza Warmack as the summer school reading teacher. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All right, all in favor of approving the personnel hire of Eliza Warmack as the summer school reading teacher, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. I move that we approve the personnel hire for Kelly Peterson as a special education summer school aide. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Cheryl. Any discussion? All in favor of approving the personnel hire for Kelly Peterson as a special education summer school aide, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? I move that we approve the personnel hire for Jake Wilkinson, full-time summer maintenance custodial position. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by Jay. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I move that we approve the personnel hire for Carol Larson as part-time custodial and part-time summer food program position. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion or questions? All in favor of approving the personnel hire for Carol Larson as part-time custodian and part-time summer food program aide, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 12.10, personnel hire for 2018-2019 school year. I move that we approve the employment of Shannon Vandervest as first grade teacher for the 2018-2019 school year. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. Any discussion or questions?
She's one of our amazing long-term subs.
She's been in the district for several years as a sub.
And they did a long-term sub this year.
Two of them.
Yeah, that's true.
She'll do great. She's excited. We're excited.
Probably have our own classroom, actually.
Yeah. It'll be great.
So all in favor of approving the employment of Shannon Vandervest for the 2018-2019 school year, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. The board would like to recognize the acceptance by the superintendent of Anna Thompson. She turned in her letter of resignation effective June 1st, 2018. And we would also recognize the acceptance by the superintendent of Ellie Clemens, her letter of resignation, which was effective June 1st, 2018 as well.
That will be two paraprofessionals in the elementary school. I think that they will be sorely missed.
They will be.
12.12, sale and disposal of books, equipment, and supplies, board policy 3270. School board recognizes that the district may own personal property which is unusable, obsolete, or no longer needed by the district, and that the disposal of such property may be in the best interest of the district. Miscellaneous items for disposal or sale include textbooks, discarded library books, materials, furniture, and equipment, which includes a 1998 Honda tractor. I move that we approve the disposal sale and sale of miscellaneous inventory. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Cheryl. Any discussion?
We will post information about, we'll do like we've done the last couple years, which has been pretty successful, probably in the next week or two. We'll post things on Buy Sell Trade, some dates and times, and we just literally put things right out front of the high school here, and people come make bids on them. People, anyway, it seems to have worked pretty well. People have come and gotten things, and so we'll do that.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor of approving the sale and disposal of miscellaneous inventory, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. 12.13, policies at first reading. So the policy committee has been reviewing this Petersburg School Board policy updates and AASB's recommended policy changes because due to legislative action. They have put forth that we make some changes in board policy 3310, purchasing procedures, 3311 in bids, 4112.4, health examinations, 4118, suspension and disciplinary action, 4218, dismissal, suspension, and disciplinary action, 5040, student nutrition and physical activity, and 6142.1, family life and sex education. I move that we approve the listed policies at first reading. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Jay. Any discussion?
I do have a question on the purchasing procedures. If there's an amount left, it says amount to be determined by the district. Do we need to determine that at this first reading, or do we determine it later?
Well, that would be good. We recommended, Cheryl, we talked about 30,000 being the recommended amount, and I think everybody was comfortable with that.
Do we have one right now? Do we have...
It has been 25.
Oh, yeah. Time to kind of creep it up just because of the cost of supplies and materials.
Because one of the questions, or one of the discussions, I guess, Jane, Cheryl could jump in here too, but we were talking about the fact that, you know, our monthly utility bills can be $22,000. You know what I mean? So do you come forward with every, you know, I mean, not that it's not important for you guys to know what those are, and you do see them, you know, as they're listed.
But we don't need to necessarily vote
monthly expenditures, but, you know, should we not pay the bill? You know, that kind of thing. So anyway,
right.
That's kind of where the discussion was. So,
So at this point, do we add that in under
you
first reading?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I wasn't sure what the...
Yes.
Could remember procedurally what we do.
Yeah, that will be perfect.
So do we need to have an amendment?
If that, I couldn't answer. I didn't know if it was more of a first reading, and then second reading is where we open it for.
I can't remember
what the order is.
In August, it'll just be approved. We can add that in there, and it'll be in there for second reading, and if people want to have comments on it in between now and then, they can. Yep. So we'll just add the amount in for that one.
Any other discussion or questions?
I think the big one was the not requiring teachers to have a physical
health exam.
Yeah, that was on 4112. We discussed that quite a bit. They had changed that requirement, requiring districts to require people to have health exams every 3 years. And so we are currently looking at requiring upon hiring. And then... we had negotiated with teachers this year for them to basically to make use of their wellness benefits
that
require
their strongly encouraged.
And if, so, which is more important than going in for a random three-year physical.
Right.
That you don't necessarily with any old doctor, you know. So I don't think anything else, unless you guys want to discuss anything else specifically. The language on the family life sex ed, that is updated from AASB last year, actually. It just has to do with being clarifying language about the policy relating it directly to Alaska Safe Children's Act and parents' rights as far as what they can opt kids out of after they review materials. So I think that's it.
So I did have a question then on, I'm assuming, I think we're meeting this, but minimum of 20 minutes of eating time after being served for lunch, and we're meeting that guideline?
We talked about that as well, and
they are changing the schedule to where there will be longer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it is tight. I mean, it's a hard thing to, yeah, there's some changes with, sometimes it's just the transition itself. It's not even about, you know, you could have 45 minutes and you still have kids that don't use the time, you know, or won't or don't use the time.
Because it seems like, I don't know if we saw an improvement when things were flipped in the grade school where they go out to recess beforehand and come in if there was more
eating and doing it, yes.
And less waste.
And they're still trying to do that as much as possible in the elementary school, depending on schedules. And I think that has been good, and they're changing, but they're modifying that a little bit, too. I think they're doing something with the time there, maybe by 5 minutes. And I think the deal here was that we might be able to fit all of our kids.
Yeah, once we get the remodel
middle
done,
school.
We can fit all the kids in the new Viking Cafe.
Oh, so that'll make a big
all
difference
them go
for
to
your
recess first, and then all the second.
The entire middle school?
Yes.
Yeah. And add some time on that, so you have less transition.
The contractor told us, I think they said 110 or 120 occupancy, and we had 95.
As long as we don't go over that number, we can still keep them all.
We'll be bigger next year, but we're not going to.
Yeah.
And that's with, remember, the kitchen is that next door room.
Right.
So that's
all that stuff
all
is in
of
there.
The space becomes
sit down
space,
eating.
So, yeah.
Okay. And then elementary and middle school students shall be provided with at least 20 minutes each day of recess.
Yes.
So we are meeting, that looks like it got reduced from 30 to 20.
Yes.
We were already at 20.
Okay.
Well, to be accurate, it's because there are lots of classes that do other things during the day, but to be, if we're saying it's in policy, we need to say what it actually is.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I think that was the only
question.
Yeah, I think those were the things I had.
Okay. Great.
All right. All in favor of approving the listed policies at first reading, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Policies pass in its first reading. 12.14, Board Goals and Strategic Planning Update. Superintendent Klupainer, do you have some discussion and information related to board goals and strategic planning?
Information.
So just to give an update here, and then we're going to keep moving forward with our groups that we had. We had another session with teachers this spring to hone down a little further from the large group meeting that we had earlier in the spring, looking at the goals. And I think the biggest areas that we're really trying to mold together right now is looking at what's required by the ESSA, you know, the requirements that are coming down, and how they actually will fit in with our current plan. So, for example, if we're looking at really honing down targets for these goals, and we're talking about what do we want to do when we're looking at our first goal, Petersburg School District will have continuous growth in all student subgroups. We need to hone down exactly which subgroups, which we'll be able to do this year finally, because we're going to have 2 years of our PEAKS data, for example. This will be the first year of that, which we don't get those results until August, so we can't do that. But we need to tie it in with what has to be, with what's required, you know, because it doesn't make sense to be doing things that are different. So if ESSA requires that all students are going to be reading at grade level proficiency by third grade, that needs to be part of our goals, because that needs to be part of our indicators.
Mm-hmm.
So the attendance component, like we talked about last time at the last board meeting, we're going to have targets and hone in on that in different ways as well under our goals. We're just going to have to because it's part of what we're accountable for. So that, I would say that's the, those are the areas that we're honing down. The family engagement components, so there was a lot of discussion about that and some really good ideas that came from teachers that during that and have come from, you know, some of our parents as well, but having some really specific targets. I know the group I was in was middle school group. There were a lot of middle school people there. And one of the areas they know that's come from surveys and data and all of that sort of thing is just that's a concern. That's a big concern for parents. That's different. That's specific sometimes to middle school. You know, how do you connect with parents and families in middle school and what's appropriate and not, and how do parents fit in and what can they do, and, you know, because it's different. Elementary is different and high school is different. So really good discussion about, and people felt really good about having some of those targets, you know, being able to say we want to really focus on family engagement at this level and how does it tie into those specific goals. So we're just keep moving forward with it. So we'll be working more as we get into August, September, October. We'll be getting our groups back together and keep moving forward. And I think that's all I have on that.
Okay. 12.15.
What should be BP? Board policy?
Board policy 9320.
Oh, no, it is called BB and our
board bylaws.
Board bylaws.
Sorry. No, no.
9320, regarding meetings. We'll have a board discussion regarding changing the regular board meeting time of 7 p.m. to an earlier time. So this is something that I am interested in discussing on whether or not we would like to start meeting earlier in the evening. If we're going to have a focus on kids and have kids at our board meeting to do presentations, I know that sometimes our board meetings can get a little late in the evening during the school year. I also would prefer to be done earlier in the evening. Personally, but, and I don't know how it fits in with our staff that has to be here, whether they have to then end up just staying all day and then show up at 7, or if, like, if, would it be more likely that you would sit here if the meeting is at 6 and you would stay and not go home, and at 7 you guys are going home? I mean, I don't know. I want to make it fit for everybody, but I don't. I'm not ride or die on 7 o'clock time.
The hospital needs it from 5 to 7. Is that right? But we're all up since the middle of the day.
Yeah. Well, sometimes. Well, sometimes
and
they
6
work at night.
Is their other one?
Six, oh, okay. Yeah.
6 p.m.
Does the borough is the borough meeting at 6?
Six. Borough meeting.
Noon. Is one meeting
at 5:30.
Yeah,
I do know there's an awkward time if I work a little bit late and then I've had my shirt tied. I'm like, keep on my work clothes, that there's that awkward hang around the house and try not to have the dogs or the kids smell anything on my clothes while I'm at the board meeting. Clearly, that is the most important thing. It's how long I have to wear dress clothes.
Well, what time are you thinking of, Mara? 6?
Well, I'd probably back it. I mean, that would probably be my initial suggestion. But I don't know, Jay, you guys are like the workers with set schedules. Sarah and I have a little bit less of a set schedule.
What's the reason for
you? I mean, versus driving all the way home.
I know. Oh, yeah, you go out the rotors.
All the way home, 10, 15 minutes. And drive all the way back.
That's terrible.
Carpool.
Oh, no, then you
Jay
would
pulled out right in front of the
car. Three of you would be a quorum. You can't carpool.
You guys could Uber?
Well, we have a policy for that.
What's easier for you guys?
We give you permission. Okay.
I'm inclined to see whatever, I don't know, what the staff that have to come back or stay would prefer.
You guys
live in
town,
I don't really
right?
matter to me. It doesn't matter whether it's...
If it's 6, I'd probably stay. Yeah. I mean, if it's 6, I'd probably stay.
What time do you normally get off?
So would it make it worse, then?
Would it make it any worse? I think you can get home earlier. I think 6 is fine.
You can actually possibly eat dinner before 9?
You can actually get home before the kids fall asleep.
Yeah, that's true.
or before I fall asleep.
Would you give me an extra hour before we go pick up the team at the ferry terminal?
Yes.
What about the recognitions we have?
That we've also talked. I mean, what about the recognitions? You want to address that? You've kind of
We do
talked about changing how that looks, so we're not doing it.
You don't have to talk about that now, do you?
It kind of goes with the reason why we're considering earlier.
It does. We have a different plan.
Yes, we do. We have.
And that discussion, I will say, has happened when we've done agenda setting. When you get off on the tangents, which we happen to have, and there's two board members.
What you guys do behind the scenes, that you guys don't get a whole lot of recognition for, but doing an athletics activities banquet at the end of the school year and inviting you guys there, and it's going to be a big shindig. We'll put it in the gym, you know, maybe right after graduation, knock it out one time. A lot of the times at places we go, we bring in a guest speaker and teams auction off some of their stuff. I mean, it's a pretty big deal that we're looking at, and she would cater the food, and it'd be a kind of nice little setting and last hurrah of the year, and the coaches can get up there and talk about their activities and stuff. So I think we do it one time, and that way a lot more people I think would attend, because sometimes it's like, oh well, I had something else, and sometimes they're running from one practice to the next practice and they're in their basketball uniform or their jersey from something else. So we're planning that, we're looking into that, just trying to find the right time to do it and invite families and have kind of a big hurrah. So
I think the other thing that's been brought up too is that sometimes even in the school itself, the kids don't always even know what's happened over the weekend. Like if they're not involved in the activity, that maybe it's, you know, it's the Tuesday morning after everybody gets back from track regionals or track or state, you know, or whatever. Yeah. And even just acknowledging in a brief way for the kids themselves too, like you're saying, it's a genuine, like, yes, you know, there's these kids that came back, we have kids that didn't even know about the, you know, the team that won state in the 4x.
Yep.
I mean, I think there's different ways to look at it, so I think that would be nice too, whether it's even just having all the kids come out in the commons at 8:25 now,
during SSR.
And you literally pull everybody out into the commons, and you know, the coach is down there, and maybe they just literally, you know, yell out, look what these kids did this weekend, and this kid, and this kid, and this kid. And it's literally like just a recognition from the other students, too.
Their peers.
You know, from your peers, just to give everybody the big hurrah, especially for some of those activities that are different than like a basketball, like a team sport that way. You know, sometimes kids don't know all the things about wrestlers. They don't know everything about track kids. You know, I mean, it's
because
they're
out loud.
Different activities.
Yeah.
Or science bowl.
Or science bowl. And that's the big one that we did with the big change with the noise parade. Kind of guidelines there is that we do it right after school. We're doing something in the commons. Everyone's kind of standing. We got the whole group in the middle of the commons. Rah-rah, and start creating a tradition there. We got the tradition with the noise parade, but let's do something too where the students get involved a little bit more instead of trying to... It was hard to get people up there on Sunday afternoon jets to get the noise parade started, and I think it's means a little bit more when you got the student body involved, because that's their peers, and majority of the time was parents at the noise parade, which is great, but we want to get the peers involved too. Because they get to see them every single day.
I think that school spirit.
Exactly. You know? And it's worked out great. The last couple times have been awesome. Yeah. So, you know, and not many people knew Elisa Larson was the state champion in Portrait Out Loud. And there she is in the comments. Or same thing with our 4x8 team that we had in the comments Tuesday. So,
So just, I think, thinking about some different ways. And I guess just to say that it's not, I mean, we can certainly buy pizza, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. It's not that we don't want to give our kids food and recognize them. And I know I'm teasing you, but I mean, I think it's just the bigger thing of wanting to make it genuine, authentic, really, you know, making it something they really want too. So.
Well, and sometimes also when it's just the sport, like tonight, it was track and field.
Yep.
The only parents there that were... that would have shown any kind of or these students would have been recognized too, were the parents that likely already knew the information. So, you know, it's nice for the kid to get up and be recognized to the parent who maybe their child only does cross country. And so now I get to see, oh, look at what they did in this other sport. You know, they get to see cross sports.
By doing it was one big event, you are getting, you're kind of solving that
if you're going through all the activities.
Other
the activities with sports and non-sports activities.
Yeah, kids are doing.
You get the parents involved and a lot of other people involved. And Irene spends a lot of time on those certificates. Lots and lots.
Now she can just spend all of May.
And lots of time. So thank you, Irene, for doing all of those.
Yeah. Well, and I think the flip side of that is also to see what happened, for example, tonight, the redundant part that you said, which is Brad has all of his, they're his kids, right? Yeah. He's the coach. He has all of the certificates already. I mean, from the regional events, from the ASA event, you know, the ASA certificates.
When they produce them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then even that becomes like, oh, you don't want to forget a kid. That feels terrible. I mean, you know, that sort of thing too. And the coaches already know what they're doing because that's what they do. They're coaches. Mm-hmm. That's part of their gig, you know. So anyway.
Yeah. So stay tuned. That's the big plan is to just kind of do a giant banquet at the end of the school year. Kind of bring everybody together for one big one. And everyone can appreciate everyone else's activity because we're all there as one because we share so many students across the board in so many different activities.
Yeah, I think that's nice too. They're being recognized for different things that they're doing. At the same
and then
time.
You guys can have a speech prepared, each one
yes.
of you.
Yes, 20 minutes apiece all the way down.
Love listening to us.
Love that.
Sit at the head table.
That sounds good.
I can't even explain the policy.
No, but if we said that, then that's, I think, where we got the idea of entertaining the idea of, you know, the discussion during one of our agenda setting where we get off on tangents, but if we did that, then we might be able to entertain the meeting earlier if that's kind of an interest from others.
As an interest from you.
See, then Jay wouldn't have to.
But Jay, what about you? You
have to drive all the way home and come right back.
I wonder if it works better for you guys. I'm fine with it.
Well, maybe it's trying 5:30 then.
6 is better.
5:30 might be. I think
6 is better.
6 is good for me.
6. We can always try it for a year, you know, the fall, starting in August. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know. Can we? Oh no, we can't. We can probably do the.
Can we do that?
It's not a board policy, so it's bylaw.
Board bylaws.
Can't remember how many do we have to.
You know, we did when we did the policy updates. We did 2 readings on those, but I don't know.
I think we have to on policies.
But policies you do.
Board bylaws. You might. I can't remember.
Well, if we want to change it for August, then we have to vote on it now. But it's not on our agenda.
It should be August.
We can always change it for, I mean, okay, so it gets changed in October. But it might be just a way to try it for a school year and talk about it a year from now again and say, did it work for everybody? Well, Derek, I'm going to go back.
How's
to
it going?
7.
That's fine. We can do that.
Somebody could do a motion though right now. We wanted. Yeah, first reading.
Yeah, but it's not a policy; it's a board bylaw. So I don't remember what you have to do for to change.
I think
a bylaw.
We asked them when we did the updates if we had to do the 2 readings on the bylaws, and I think he said. Remember when we made all when we did this last
corrected
year? We did all
of, oh, a bunch of corrections.
Updates.
Yeah, because we were still saying we were dealing with the council. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we did. I think we just did it at 1.
We did two on those as well. But I'm not sure. I mean, I guess what I would say is we could ask, and if somebody wants to make a recommendation tonight for this board bylaw, it's listed out here. People could look at it, and you're saying you'd like to recommend, and we'll find out for sure. If this tonight could be first reading and then maybe August.
I would like to entertain an amendment to the board bylaw 9320 that we change the time of the meeting to 6 p.m.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Cheryl. Any further discussion? All in favor of changing the regular board meeting time to 6 p.m.? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Right, motion passes, possibly in its first reading.
We'll
to be determined.
Confirmed. We may
confirm that.
We'll
confirm that, but
All right, any additional comments from board members? What?
Can I get a comment?
You're not a board?
I know, I should have done it at the beginning.
What is Principal Dorman?
Just want to thank, I didn't do a report, but I want to thank everyone for a really great graduation. Thank you, school board, for being there. It really means a lot to the kids and the community. It's a great event. You saw lots of staff there. I love, thank you again. I know the elementary staff all the staff I know are sometimes a little uncomfortable sitting in the middle of everyone staring at them, but it means a lot to have, I think, also to have all the teachers. Over all the years, it's a really cool thing. And then finally, Ashley Lohr, as a senior advisor for the last couple of years, does a lot of background work, as does Jill Lenhard, and no one ever hears that, too. So I want to thank them for, obviously, you don't have a great graduation that just happens on the spur of the moment. So they put a lot of work in behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a cool moment. I mean, I've just recently heard a lot of people saying, hey, that was great. Great classes. Mr. Qualsey, you know, it was just a really great event. Kids' speeches were great. So I just want to say thank you to the board and to thank some of the behind the scenes workers.
Thank you. Okay, upcoming dates and meeting announcements. There is no scheduled regular board meeting in July. That is our bi-month. July 25th, Petersburg High School cross country begins. If you have a student that wants to run cross country, get in contact with the school.
Why does it start so early?
Because by the time they start their state tournament, it's snowing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They could move the state tournament to Juneau every year.
You know,
I would solve that problem.
Instead of Bartlett Hills.
Yep.
Solve that problem.
Right
there.
Real fast.
Yep.
Real
just
fast. It is an idea. Why can't we have a state competition down there?
Then you can start cross country a little bit later and not make our ADs work so early in the summer.
34 days.
What's that?
When I was in high school, they had state competitions in Juneau. Should they not anymore?
No.
Okay, so you're on the board. You should see about getting them to change where the state tournament is.
That would be wonderful.
Also, some schools start earlier than us.
I know, but
state.
July 25th is insane. Sorry.
I know.
August 1st, Petersburg High School swim begins.
Same problem? No, wait. So does it affect that?
No.
So we will set the board agenda. Oh, we need a date to set
14th.
The board agenda for August 14th. I won't be here at the end of July, so it has to be in August.
Isn't
the
Friday
the
3rd or Monday the
6th? I'm out of town.
You're not out of town.
Friday the 3rd is fine with me.
Whatever.
Yeah, sure. Friday the 3rd.
Okay.
What time?
What's good for you?
Yeah, what time is good for you?
11.
11. Friday the 3rd, 11.
Perfect.
Okay.
Sounds great.
All right, and then possibly August 14th, regular board meeting will be at 6 or 7. Stay tuned.
So who is setting the agenda? I'm sorry.
Cheryl and me. Myself. All right, any future agenda items?
I will not be at the board meeting on the 14th. So will all three of you be in town?
I will.
Okay.
And
Jay, you will be?
I'll be here.
Okay, so we'll meet
and
in quorum.
Possibly if we put out for
a
the
new
board member.
Oh, we might have a special
we'll
meeting
30
in July.
Days, and there could be a special meeting
okay.
to potentially, if people are out there in radio
take
land,
like 2 minutes
listening and
maybe
want to submit a letter, and if there's any sort of interview process, we can appoint someone to potentially
yes.
be on the board for August.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sounds good.
So I move that we adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Right.
There's no name.
This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance at 772-3858.